Blog Talk Radio.
Decided. NFC, we've got 9 teams vying for 6 spots. And really, if you really want to get technical, you've got 5 teams vying for 2 spots, as 4 teams have clinched a spot, including Atlanta having home field throughout at this point. But still some important games in Week 17. We won't see as many people sitting the bench as we have in previous seasons. We won't see as many people, as many backups coming in. I don't think we're going to see Matt Flynn coming in for Green Bay and lighting it up in the last week of the season to get a big contract only to sit on the bench for Seattle and watch a rookie quarterback named Russell Wilson take the team to the playoffs. And, man, were we wrong. Weeks ago we said the Russell Wilson experiment is over. And we weren't right about that. He's turned out to be the real deal, along with a few other rookies. But anyway, I jump ahead. Let me bring in, and it appears I have both of my hosts. Didn't know who was gonna show up, but it looks like I have both of them. We're gonna go for about an hour and a half. I don't think this is gonna be an overly long show. It is holiday season and people have a lot of things going on. But you know you need your dose of the Madden Voice. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We are back, 347-838-9525. If you want to dial into the Madden Voice, chat room is open. Catch us on Twitter, at the Madden Voice. And, of course, you can always go like our Facebook page, the Madden Voice. But first, let me bring in the Doctor of Philosophy, the EAFL Super Bowl I winner, and the man who is praying that a few things bounce his way this weekend so his beloved Bears might sneak into the playoffs. We have Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, what up, T? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's. All that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Yes, sir. And let's bring in the guy who I wasn't sure if he was going to make it. He's probably got all his family sitting right there. He's probably, this guy probably has like a nice home studio. People just sitting there watching him, eating their pie, drinking their eggnog. And he's like, let's watch this guy do his thing on the Madden Voice. And by now, he was in Madden Nation Season 4, one of the best Madden players around. Maybe one day we could say one of the best of all time. I don't know. It's arguable, but it may be true. But right now, he's sad because his beloved Steelers are not going to the playoffs. We have K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yeah, I'm here. And not one of the most sought-out introductions that I could have asked for, considering the circumstances of what took place this past Sunday. But nonetheless, I am here.
He is here. He didn't back down. He didn't chicken out. He didn't go hide. He came here, and we are going to certainly want to hear from him about his beloved Steelers and simply ask him what happened. We're going to talk AFC playoffs. We're going to talk NFC playoffs. And, of course, we're going to look at some key games this week. And really get our hands around who do we think will be, at least in the NFC, who's in and who's out. In the AFC, it's not so much who's in and who's out. It's more about seedings. It's more about who will clinch home field all the way through. And, you know, what we do know, if I have it correct, the 5 and the 6 seed are locked in. And so that we already know. But what we don't know is who's getting the first and second seed. We know who's there now. And certainly if they win, they're in. But, you know, New England still has a chance to grab either of those seeds. New England, if I have it right, New England holds all tiebreakers with Houston and Denver. So if New England wins and Houston or Denver loses, New England will grab one of those seeds. So those three teams all have something to play for, which is really nice to be in week 17 and have teams still having things to play for. That's something that I don't like, particularly when it comes to fantasy football and a league I'm in. The championship game is this weekend, and, you know, I happen to be in that mism-fism. So, you know, I'd like to know that my guys got something to play for. You understand what I'm saying? So, so it's nice to see so many games still relevant so late in the season. But let's go to the AFC and let's just get right to it. We have to get right to it. We have to give the floor to K-Star. Mm-hmm. And we have to just simply say, K-Star, what happened to your Steelers, man? Talk to us.
Steelers went out Sunday and unfortunately did not get a win. Basically, we all saw the game. The Steelers defense, Troy Polamalu had a great game. He looked like he was back. He had a play in which the quarterback hiked the ball. He sacked him in 0.10 seconds, just like Troy can, a real definition of a nano. But unfortunately, T, I got to give it to you. You warned me. You warned me about a man from Dallas named Todd Haley. You did. And for the first time in Big Ben's illustrious Pittsburgh Steelers career, I saw him do the unthinkable 2 weeks in a row. He threw late interceptions, failed to produce for us in the biggest moments like he normally would do. And his the scheme in which we were running against Cincinnati didn't cut it. The scheme in which we ran most of the season put up some pretty good numbers. You know, Ben Roethlisberger had a pretty good statistical season with a 95 quarterback rating, 23 touchdowns in like 12 games, but it didn't get the job done this season for us. And, you know, people can sit here and say, oh, the Steelers are old, the Steelers are this. Well, the Steelers still have a very good defense. The Bengals only had 13 first downs. They had about 250 total yards. They were picked off twice by the Steelers. But this season, it came down to the fact that in these close games, for whatever reason, we couldn't get it done. And for me, the only thing that's really changed with the Pittsburgh Steelers, aside from age, not ability, age, is just the fact that we have a different offensive coordinator, and one in which our quarterback doesn't seem to be in favor of, and in turn is also playing some of the most questionable football I've ever seen him play in the biggest of moments. That's never Big Ben's MO. So, in conclusion, let me just tell you that, T, you were right. You warned me about Todd Haley. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but from Ben's body language to his comments to his most concerning thing, his play in these big moments, it's got me worried, man. It's got me to the point where, it cost us Steelers the playoffs, perhaps, if you want to put it on Todd Haley. I don't know if you do or not. It's a lot to hang one hat on, but this season is over. And there's no reason a team like the Steelers that has this much talent should have missed the playoffs. And I love Mike Tomlin, I do, but we had some games in which we should have beat some bad football teams, and it's been excusable, as he likes to often say. And I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed. I don't know what else to say.
Train, I'm gonna let you comment on this one. What are your thoughts on the Steelers and the fact that going into weeks, this is a team that was 12-4 last year, and now they're 7-8, and the most they can hope for is a 500 record, no playoffs. What are your thoughts?
Man, you know, there are some things that are difficult to get over, and you know, Steelers just didn't have what I consider enough look on the whole injury and those injuries just kind of caught them toward the end. They lost too many games early. Some games they shouldn't have lost early. And it kind of catches up with you towards the end. I mean, they really did play a good Cincinnati Bengals team. So it wasn't just all the Steelers dropped the ball. No, you played a Cincinnati Bengals team that got hot at the right time, and that's the month of December. And when you play a team that's hot in the month of December, you know what they can do to you, especially when you're battling injuries, when you're trying to get your players back, and you're in a must-win situation. The last thing you want to do is play a hot team just trying to make the playoffs, man. So it's not so much that what the Steelers couldn't do, it's just what the Bengals did. This was a statement for Cincinnati. They needed to win this game to make it to the play. They need to win this game to lock in their playoff seed, and they needed to win this game to show that they belong in the same class, in the same category with both Baltimore and the Steelers in that division, because clearly Cincinnati can't get out of that division without at least taking one or two wins away from Baltimore or the Steelers, and they managed to get one, and that one got them in the playoffs. So the way I see it, Steelers just ran out of gas, man. I mean, your team can only handle so many injuries, and the losses early on in the season just caught up.
And this is true. And this is all true, but real quick, to that game, I don't know if you saw it or not, but the Bengals had no business winning that football game. And I say that because the Steelers, listen, that pick six Ben threw was dreadful. I'm not going to, you know, give him any slack. It was horrible. It was a god-awful play. The Bengals had six offensive points that entire football game. The Steelers were missing 25-yard field goals. They were just throwing, you know, turning the ball over late, just uncharacteristic things. So, you know, Cincinnati struggling with the ball all day. You know, Troy Polamalu was sacking the quarterback. The defense was all over them. To me, the Steelers were the more talented team out there, and they still couldn't get it done. And when I look at the season, I see a loss to Tennessee where we missed a field goal late. I see a loss to Oakland. I see a loss to Cleveland, to San Diego. And this game right here should have been a win. And it's just, you're right. I mean, injuries played a part in it. But I just look at the big moments of some of these football games. And, again, I just have to question what's going on with Big Ben and Todd Haley. It just hasn't worked out.
Let me just say this. First of all, Ben Roethlisberger's quarterback rating for this game was 7.1, lowest of any quarterback in the game this week. I'm not going to blame Big Ben completely, but he's culpable there. Okay, I still think, as I said last week, he's hurt. He's trying to play. He's hurt, but it took you 15 games and 16 weeks to finally come around and get the bandana from around your eyes to see what I've been telling you, which is Haley is not the guy for that team. I don't know why it took you so long. I understand, you know, when you guys lost five in a row or whatever it was, you should have woke up then and said, what is going on? This guy is just, he's not. Why do you think they signed him to a one-year contract? So he's gone. You ain't got to worry about next year. He's gone. Trust me. He's gone. They signed him 1 year. He's out.
Real quick, just respond to your question. It was a lot that had to do with the fact that we put up for the most part of the season really good numbers. Like Big Ben, yeah, he had a miserable statistical game, but I mean, through 12 games, he had 3,000 yards, 95.5 rating, 23 touchdowns. Like, he was having a good statistical season. Like, Big Ben, he was actually one of his better statistical seasons he's had, but for whatever reason, the chemistry between him and Haley and the big points of the games, we couldn't deliver like Ben normally would do. So, you know what? Maybe you were right all along. But I guess to me, to respond to that, it was more or less just assuming that, you know, in these situations, they would have to get better, and they will because they played, they've been playing some pretty good football throughout this whole season, so I don't know why they couldn't get these wins to come from it as well.
Because it takes a team and not just one quarterback. That's why they couldn't get it done. Come on, man.
But the defense was strong all season, too. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
The defense wasn't strong all season. Don't say the defense was strong all season when clearly you lost over half your games, man. Well, you lost half your games thus far. Listen, man, let's be a realist. You know what I'm saying? Chicago has dropped the ball completely. I'm not going to sugarcoat this season, man. So don't sugarcoat the Steelers, dude. They dropped the ball. They're not as good as a team. Okay, we're not individuals. They're just not as good as a team this year as they were the previous year, and it happened. But don't sugarcoat them and say, oh, this player played well, I don't understand. The understanding is the fact that as a team, the Steelers could not get it done. They had injuries constantly throughout the season, and it hurt them in some games. that's hard to bounce back from. Not necessarily making excuses for them, but some injuries are hard to bounce back from, man, and you can lose those games because of it.
Absolutely. I just don't want to use injuries as an excuse, but, I mean, it's true, though. It's fair because, again, I mean, Troy Polamalu missed 10 games this season. It took him a couple of games just to get back into gear, which he finally did in Cincinnati. So that part is also true, but I'm just bitter right now.
Your team's lost 5 out of 6.
You understand?
Yeah, no, so, hey, man.
Your team's lost 5 out of 6 games. You know, I mean,
I can't go through it again, T. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and don't worry, we're gonna get the doctor trained because he's gonna have to. I mean, his team got a win this weekend, so their hopes are still alive. But I mean, when you know, I have been a fan of a team that down the stretch has folded year after year after year. And I've had to endure the agony of having an 8-4 record or a 7-3 record or, you know, something, and then the last 5 or 6 games losing 4 out of 6 and you know, going into the last week of the season at 8-7 or, you know, whatever, you know, and hoping to get a win to get into the playoffs or whatever. This year was a little different. We were 3-5 and we've won 5 of 7, and so it's been a little bit opposite this year. But I've been where both your teams are, and I know how it feels. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Train hit it right on the head. The team just didn't get it done. It's just simply, it really just boils down to, at the end of the day, they just didn't get it done. And I said it last week, unfortunately for you, K-Star, I was right. I said the Steelers came into Dallas and played a good, solid game and just didn't quite have enough to finish. And that was it. They were done. You know, that was their time. You know, Bennett had his bad game the week before coming out of injury, and like, okay, you had your bad game. You lost to a bad San Diego team. And now, you know, here's your Super Bowl, so to speak. This is a team that you can beat. And so now let's right the ship and let's go into Dallas and beat this team. And it didn't happen. And once that happened, I said it on the show last week. I said it last when I did the Madden Voice lunchtime show last Friday. I said, Steelers are done. It's over. You know, when I saw after you guys lost to Dallas, and I saw the reaction, and then finger pointing, and Ben talking about Haley, and Haley talking about Ben, I said, oh, it's over. Oh, it's done. As soon as you get that in the press, as soon as people are starting to blame other people, and I don't know about that play call, and I don't know, it's over. It's done. And the best thing y'all can do in the offseason is shed Todd Haley. I'm not saying that's all you need to do, because I do sense some age on that defense. You know, James Harrison was not the showstopper that he's been in previous years. You know, so I do think there's some age on that defense. But you do have a solid coach. You do have Ben. You do have some good pieces. And you guys will be back next year. You'll be in the thick of it again next year.
Absolutely. But the Steelers, real quick, the Steelers' mistake is also the Colts' biggest game. The Steelers let Bruce Arians walk this offseason. They actually told him that if he didn't resign, he would be fired. Bruce Arians, a coordinator that won with the Steelers and Big Ben, succeeded with, who is now, as you guys know, the coach, well, temporary was filling coach of the Colts, and of course we saw New Luck success. And let me tell you something, that hurts to see. That hurts to see Bruce Arians doing little twirls and dances and everything while my team's missing the playoffs. Because I know he's happy, and he's made that public, and it's just disturbing that the Steelers made this kind of mistake.
All right. Let me ask you, K-Star, biggest surprise, and I say surprise in a good way, come out of the AFC this year.
The biggest surprise in the AFC?
Yeah. In a good
way. To me, it's the Colts. I mean, when you look at it, this was a team that still, to this day, doesn't have much talent around them. A team that had the first pick overall in the draft and drafted Andrew Luck. We expected to be some growing pains, maybe a team that would be somewhat exciting, like a 6-10 type football team. But, you know, they have 9 wins to end the playoffs. This is a team, again, that managed to beat Green Bay earlier this season, that managed to overcome its deficiencies in the offensive line, losing Peyton Manning, all those things, a whole new cleanup, and here they are in the playoffs. It's kind of remarkable. this whole Chuck Strong thing, I think, pushed them forward. Not saying that cancer is the reason why they made the playoffs or anything, but the fact that it built a real team structure for them rather quickly. And to me, it's easy. Again, it has to be the Colts. I don't see what more surprising team there is out there. Maybe not just the AFC, the NFL. I don't think anyone had the Colts making the playoffs this season, and here they are, basically picking up right where Peyton Manning left off. It's a little crazy to me.
Train, same question.
Pretty much did everything Chase I said. I mean, my biggest surprise would have to be the Colts. You couldn't have told me the Colts was going to make the playoffs. I don't care. I thought the playoffs was really going to be, from the beginning of the season, Denver, New England, Houston, and then three teams from the NFC, from the AFC North. That's what I thought the playoffs was going to be.
So they almost won, by the way, real quick. Five teams, five returning playoff teams. The only one that alternated was the Steelers and Colts. The AFC stayed intact.
Yeah, I'm going to go a different direction, although the Colts are certainly a huge surprise. I'm going to say the Broncos surprised me because we really didn't know what we were going to get out of Peyton Manning. And even after five games, they're sitting at 2-3. People are questioning, you know, should Peyton have came back, his arm strength, you know, not getting a perfect spiral on the ball. There was a lot of conversation about, you know, Peyton Manning after five games. And I believe they've won 9-10 in a row. I don't know anybody that could have predicted that the Broncos, yes, they were a playoff team last year, but, you know, a team, I mean, do you want to see the Broncos in the playoffs right now? Does anybody want to play the Broncos in the playoffs right now?
They're the best.
Next week.
I have mine already selected.
Yeah. Next week. We need twelve definitive teams in the playoffs before we can do predictions. So next week. But really, I mean, in the NFL, frankly, is there any team more dangerous that you want to avoid on offense and defense than the Denver Broncos? And no one would have thought that at the beginning of the season that this team, you might have said playoffs, but the dominance that they're showing, the consistency that they're showing.
I've been saying for weeks, man, they're pretty good, man. I mean, again, they're surprised just in the fact that they actually have a chance to win the AFC entirely outright this weekend. But for weeks, they've been playing some great football, and that team, you're right, scariest team, I think, in the NFL, offensive, defensively. There's a collective unit, and when you have Peyton Manning with a complete football team around him, hey, that is Peyton Manning. That's not, you know, all of Peyton Manning that's washed up. No, this is actually most touchdown passes Peyton Manning's thrown since 2006. 35 on the season. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Train, you want to say something?
No, I was just saying, Denver is definitely a very dangerous team right now. I had already put them in the playoffs simply because no one else in the division was – well, none of those teams are playoff teams besides Denver. I mean, we saw what Denver did without a Peyton Manning last season. Clearly, we expected better of them this season. Now, expecting them to be as dominant as they are now, nah. But no one expected Indianapolis to even get close to being a playoff team.
Yeah. I don't argue in Detroit because of coming from 2-14. I guess for me, they are a big surprise. They were a playoff team the year before under Peyton Manning. So I guess it's not a complete shock that a team, you know, Peyton sits out, they go, you know, they go to hell. They get a good quarterback in there, a pretty good quarterback in there, and, you know, they rebound. But I don't argue that. I can't argue saying Denver, I'm sorry, that Indianapolis is a bigger surprise. For me, it's just not that. It's just the dominance that we're seeing out of Denver and the fact that they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Peyton Manning's first year with them. Brand new team, brand new scheme. He missed the whole year, four surgeries. And they are, I mean, I can't ever remember, you know, in my life of watching football, a veteran QB, and I've seen Joe Montana go. I've seen a lot of Hall of Fame quarterbacks late in their career go to new teams, and I don't know that I've ever seen a team this complete and this dominant right away. You know, one season, boom. It's amazing, and I bet a lot of teams, you know, might be kicking themselves that they didn't go ahead and grab Peyton Manning, because I know Denver was not his first choice. You know, so I'm sure there are a lot of teams that might be kicking themselves that they didn't go out and get Peyton Manning. So with that said, Train, I'm going to stick with you. Biggest disappointment in the AFC?
Oh, biggest disappointment in the AFC. You know what, man? It would have to be... God, this is a tough one.
For me, it's not tough.
I want to go. I partly want to go with the black and gold. But to be honest, my biggest disappointment. This is just coming from being just a fan of the sport and of no team. Is the Jets, and it's not so much that the Jets didn't make the playoffs. I don't even care that the Jets didn't make the playoffs. I'm disappointed at the Jets' entire play, of the entire season. No creativity whatsoever after trading to get a guy who on the field, once he gets on the field, you can't even question this dude's heart and his will to win. But you trade for him and you find no way to use him. I mean, and as a fan, you mean that was going to be the main reason for even watching the Jets, just to see Either Tim Tebow, you know, either that's just to see him succeed or fail, but we got to see neither. We can't even say Tim Tebow failed because Tim Tebow just never happened down there. So as a football fan, that's like my biggest disappointment. I just didn't see any creativity from the Jets after going to get a guy who took a team to the playoffs the previous season and won a playoff game.
K-Star, I wonder what you're going to say.
It's clearly the Steelers. There's no question. I'm the most disappointed man in America right now. Look, dude, 7-8. Like, that team that went from 12-4 last year, the only team from the AFC to not make the playoffs again from the previous season, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, again, 7-8 football record. We're not going to have a winning record at this point. It's literally impossible, people. And, you know, the Steelers, again, might be a little older, but first ranked in defense. Just the 7 wins, losses to Oakland, at Oakland, 34-31, at Tennessee, Cleveland. It's got to be Pittsburgh, man. This is a team that can go into to battle with anyone. They had a great game with Denver week one. They won at New York, although it doesn't look so impressive anymore. They went ahead in Baltimore with a backup quarterback and won. We couldn't get it done for the rest of the season. I mean, it's unacceptable. But it's the Steelers, man. The talent pool is just too rich to not make the playoffs. We kind of knew what the Jets were. We knew they were a joke. We knew all that in preseason.
Yeah, I think you're both right. I'd probably go with the Steelers, but I do want to mention that the Chargers continue to be disappointment year after year.
Yeah. They're a mutual disappointment.
They year after year, and I think North Turner is done. And, you know, now there's a guy – you know, the Steelers should take a serious look at. There's a guy that, if you want a good offensive coordinator, you know, if Norv Turner is open to being a coordinator, and he should, because I don't think anybody bring him in as a head coach at this point, there's a guy who, as an offensive coordinator, yeah. I mean, you guys with Norv Turner, with the weapons you guys have, oh, I'd be scared of you next year. I would have a hard time talking bad about your offense next year. I'm telling you, it would be a great fit.
Oh, please. You know what? I didn't even think of that. Can we get North Turner on line one, please, on speed dial? Make that happen.
When North Turner has Vincent Jackson, Thomason, Sproles, oh my goodness, yeah. And along with Gates, the Chargers offense was definitely one of the best in the league. I mean, they were actually number one, like, almost all the categories. They were sick.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, and as I know, I mean, he's got two rings with Dallas, and as a coordinator, and I think as an offensive coordinator, the guy's he's great, and I think you put him with a team with weapons like the Steelers. Oh my God, you know, and he likes to go downfield just like Ben. You know, he's not yep. you know, but he'll get
not
your
sure
running game.
Passing game.
Yeah, but he'll get your running game going. But that's all to set up the pass. He likes to air it out. You know, so yeah, if you guys can grab him, man, that'd be a good catch for you. But I just feel like the Jets absolutely. Tebow, let me just 10 seconds on Tebow. I really hope the guy can get over to Jacksonville or somewhere that needs a quarterback and get a legitimate chance to start. I think he's earned it. What the Jets did to him this year is inexcusable. I hope Rex Ryan gets fired. I just think the guy is not that good of a coach. And you know, I heard
them the whole year. They end up running around like they lied to that man. You know, there's no way he would sign up for the Jets with that kind of. No playing time, basically, guaranteed. So that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And, you know, I heard Stephen A. Smith make a very interesting point about how Rex Ryan actually went to those AFC Championship games with Eric Mangini's players, and that Eric Mangini's not getting enough credit for the team that he built that Rex Ryan inherited. And, you know, that's a good point. You know, I think that Rex Ryan is – he's a little overrated, you know, because he's a good talker and he's good at getting the press involved. But, you know, with the decision I've seen this year, you know, I don't get it. So I hope Tebow gets on a team and can get a legitimate chance to compete for a starting quarterback job. The Jets were a joke. Steelers were a disappointment. And the Chargers just every year. You know, thank God for the Chargers. And at least it takes some of the pressure off of Dallas. But anyway, all right. We're going to talk about who we think is going to be the first, second, and third seed, but we're going to have to – let's make our game picks, and then we'll transition our game picks into first, second, and third seed predictions for the AFC. Let's switch over to the NFC. Let's switch over to, the conference that I know so well and that Train knows so well. And let's talk about the game of the week. It's been flex this Sunday night. It's at this point, it really is the game of the week. For 2 years in a row, Dallas is now once again playing for the division championship on the last game of the regular season. Last year it was against the Giants, and they played poor and lost. I believe it was 31-14 or 33-14 or some outrageous score, and they didn't play well at all. And now this year they get to go into Washington and play RG3, who the Redskins did beat Dallas 38-31, and they were up 28-3 at one point, and Dallas made a valiant comeback but fell short. And the question for you, Train, is who wins this game? You know, because the winner wins the division. So who wins?
Man, got two fairly hot teams here, man. God, this is a tough game to pick from, really. But I'm going to have to go with the home team on this one. I'm going to have to go with the Redskins. The one thing that scares me about Dallas, only thing that scares me, and again, if they're having this struggle even up until this last game, is the late starts, man. They fight back, but the late starts are the only thing that scares me about picking Dallas. I need them to jump out the gate. Jump out the gate. That's what playoff teams do. They jump out the gate and they go. And they have everything. They have the talent. They have the defense. They have the offense. But for some reason, they start late.
Okay.
I like the risk in this.
Blow it out your ass.
All right. K-Star?
First of all, it's going to be a very competitive football game. I can't wait to see it. This will make up for the Eagles, Cowboys game early in the season, Sunday Night Football. But nonetheless,
shut up.
I'm going with Washington. I have to go with Washington. They've won six straight. I mean, the string of games that they've won is the second highest in the NFL, just outside of Denver, who won 10 in a row. I mean, this is a team that's hot. They're at home. Alfred Morris, last time they played Dallas, he ran for over 100 yards. RG3 had 4 first-half touchdown passes, and the Cowboys are banged up. I'm going with Washington. I just, again, them being at home to me is just a deciding factor in what should be a great competitive football game.
That's good. I like this. I like it because, you know, when we come back next week and Dallas is NFC East champs, you guys are both going to have to, you know, eat some crow. I have one thing.
No, you know what happened last time we all picked Dallas?
What?
Every time we all pick Dallas, Dallas lose. So by doing this, we are clearly doing you a favor, man, because both times we pick Dallas, all three of us pick Dallas, they lose the game. So now, since we're going on opposite sides of the fence, this would get Dallas.
Well, K-Star wasn't going to pick Dallas anyway. There was no way.
I picked them to win the NFC East before the beginning of the season, so my ego was at stake. But I set it aside for good football analysis, and six straight of Washington at home, to me, it's just tough to beat that, man.
Yeah. Let me just say this. Let me just break it down to you guys, okay? Let me break it down to you. There are a lot of people picking Dallas to win this game, and there's a reason for that. Number one, first and foremost, Tony Romo is playing out of his mind the last 5 weeks.
Yes.
In a time where Tony Romo's been known to not play so well, he's playing out of his mind. Did you see the game against the Saints? Did you see the last four minutes of that game? Okay. Yes, they you know, I have to blame the defense. Yes, Dallas got the ball first in overtime and couldn't score. Got it. And ultimately they lost the game. Got it. But, you know, when you look at that game, that's the defense. Defense lost that game, not the offense. But anyway, Tony Romo's playing out of his mind for a second. RG3 is a very good quarterback. Very good quarterback. And he's got a bright career ahead of him. RG3's knee is not right. Okay? You know, that game against Philly, he ran the ball twice. And when he was running both times, you could tell he wasn't himself. I don't expect his knee to make a miraculous recovery in 1 week. I think his knee's still not going to be right. So that's one thing. I don't expect to see the RG3 that we saw the first game simply because he's not healthy. I mean, he's got to go, and he's going to go, but I don't expect him to be that RG3. But let's look at it this way. The Washington's defense, as poorly as Dallas' defense has played the last couple of weeks, Washington's defense is worse. Dez Bryant is playing as good as any wide receiver in the NFL right now with a broken finger. There's no one on Washington that can stop him. He's not going to be stopped. Okay? Sorry, D'Angelo Hawk, bring it, because watch what's going to happen. The best unit on that field is going to be the Cowboy offense. That's going to be the best unit on that field. And that's why Dallas won that game. I don't like when people have careers and you have to say defining moments or getting over the hump as if one game changes everything. But as I said a couple of weeks ago, when Josh Brent drove home from the party, wherever they was, drunk, and unfortunately took the life of Jerry Brown Jr., the team came together and rallied. And I saw something from this team I had not seen in years, not since maybe Bill Parcells coached. This tragedy brought this team together, and they are playing an inspired level of football that I haven't seen in a long time. And last year when they lost to the Giants, I just didn't feel – I mean, yeah, I probably said some of the same things I'm saying now, but I didn't say they were playing inspired. They weren't on a 5-out-of-7 game winning streak. They didn't have the experience of having been there a year ago and lost. And now we're going there. Now we got to do this again. And it's either win or you're in or lose and go home. I just feel like it's their time. Washington didn't. If you guys remember, the 9-6 Redskins at 3-6, Shanahan said we're going to be evaluating players for the future for jobs. Now, he can spin that all he wants. He was done. The season was done. He had given up, thrown in the towel. This wasn't a motivational ploy. He was done. Now they're playing for the NFC East title. They didn't expect to be here. They're not ready. RG3, good quarterback. Maybe great quarterback. You know? He ain't seen nothing like this. Sorry. This ain't college, bro. This is the pros. You ain't seen nothing like this playing for Baylor, okay? You're going into your stadium with Cowboy fans and Redskins fans for a division title on Sunday Night Football. This is what Dallas does. This is what we do. These are the games we come for. This is old hat. Oh, what? Another Sunday night game? Division title online? Oh, yeah, we've been there. Let's go. Redskins ain't seen it. Shanahan's seen it. Shanahan as a coach has seen it. I'm not taking away anything away from Mike Shanahan. He's seen it. I get that. But he's not going to be on the field. The guys on the field, they ain't seen this. This amount of pressure. When are you? Now, the Redskins could still slide in with a loss, but it's unlikely. So for all practical purposes, whoever loses is going home. And I just get a sense that Dallas is tired now. They're done with all of the skeptics and the pundits and all the people out there and the Romo haters. And y'all remember this? Let me bring you back something. Okay, let me just remind y'all of something. Hold on, let me find this real quick. Hold on, man. I just had it a second ago and I lost it. Let me just remind you of something that I played weeks ago. Okay, hold on, man. Where the heck did it go? Man, how come when I want to find something, I can't find it? Here we go. Remember this?
Dallas quarterback Tony Romo has always had his critics. Now former Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann is joining that list. I'm Kerry Chow, joined by Joe Theismann on the phone. Joe, what sparked these comments regarding your thoughts on Tony Romo?
Well, Kerry, it was the way he played on Monday night. It wasn't, I threw five interceptions on my birthday down in Dallas, so it isn't the interceptions as much as, the missed opportunities, fumbling the football that wound up in the touchdown. I mean, not protecting the ball in the pocket, missing Miles Austin, missing Dez Bryant on what would have been touchdowns. Tony, I guess maybe my expectation of Tony is really high. And right now, he's average. I mean, you can list – I listed last night. I took the time to list the 32 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League, and I had him right in the middle. And he shouldn't be there. And so when I say he's average, right, he is average. I mean, people say, well, last year he threw 35 touchdown passes, only 10 interceptions. Well, that was a year ago. And I think at the quarterback position, it's your job to elevate the football team. You can't be the guy that's making the mistakes that's costing your team an opportunity to win. And it's happened way too often and too many times in Tony's career. And so that's why I took the position and said, look, he's average. And I would find anybody, present to me facts that are opposite that, and I'll agree with you. But I think that Tony is really playing average football at best, and that's not good enough for the Dallas Cowboys. There are certain teams in the National Football League that need –
All right, I don't want to hear no more. I listened to as much as I could. That was Joe Theismann, by the way. Former Washington Redskin. Dogging Tony Romo weeks ago. Calling him an average quarterback. I think we can all agree that Romo is not an average quarterback. I think we can all on the Madden Voice agree that Romo is at best, at worst, above average. You want to get into elite? I don't know. Who's elite today? I don't know. But he's not an average quarterback. That's Joe Theismann from Washington Redskins. You don't think Tony Romo heard that? You don't think Romo heard that from a Redskin, former Redskin quarterback? I'm telling you guys, I appreciate the fact that y'all picked the Redskins. Not a bad pick. Redskins six in a row. RG3, Alfred Morris, Pierre Garçon. I mean, they've been playing winning football, inspired winning football, came from nowhere. Now they have a chance to win the division. I mean, it's great for the city of Washington. Shanahan, I mean, he's got his quarterback now. We know what he can do with a good quarterback and a good running back. And I'm certainly not saying that Washington's going to roll over and just let Dallas
go in there and have their way. Oh, no, 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 this is going to be a good game. But they're not going to go up 28-3 on Dallas this game. Okay, and we saw what happened when Dallas was down 28-3. They almost pulled it off. That's not going to happen this game. Okay, Dallas will play, and the counter, and it's train. You're right. There have been games where Dallas has started slow. We didn't see that these last two games, though. We didn't see that. They were right there with both Pittsburgh and with the Saints, and won Pittsburgh, and you know, lost to the Saints. You know, I think they should have beat the Saints, but for me, I'll be honest with you. When Miles Austin catches that touchdown and it's 31-30, honestly, I'm going for two. I'm winning the game right there. It's over. I'm not going into overtime because we can't stop Drew Brees. We couldn't stop him. Brees was phenomenal. Brees was Brees again. I don't know why he wasn't Brees when I needed him in the EAFL Fantasy Football Playoffs, but he was phenomenal, and we couldn't stop him. Couldn't do anything to him. So I don't want to go in a overtime and knowing that unless we come down and score a touchdown right away, Breeze is going to get the ball. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm going for two. Way Dez is playing, Miles finally came back, Witten, I'm going for two, winning the game and it's over. But that's another conversation. So my point is this. I expect Dallas to play well, inspired, motivated football. There'll be more Cowboy fans in that stadium than people understand because there's a lot of Cowboy fans in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. So Dallas is not going to feel like a road game to them. And then, of course, some of their home games feel like road games to them. And I expect them to play well. I expect them to show the experience that they have over Washington, and outlast them. And I expect the Cowboys to win this game. I fully and truly expect Dallas to win this game, period. Mm-hmm. They will go in 9-7 NFC East champs.
Actually, I mean, I know you said say it's a conversation for another time, but I mean, it's interesting that you did bring up the decision to go for two, because I when they scored, and I'm looking at that like, man, you know, the coach's the normal coach's decision is to take the extra point, go into OT, but you know, with the momentum that they had on that particular drive, I mean, true enough, it would have been a big gamble. But, you know, considering that Dallas could still lose that game and still have a shot at winning the division, I mean, yeah, he probably should have went for two. I think I'd take that shot if you can afford to lose that game.
I would have went for two. I pretty much already knew that game, if especially with the Giants losing, that game was not a must-win game for Dallas because tied with Washington and we had the tiebreaker. If we end the regular season and beat Washington, we've got the tiebreaker over Washington. We got the tiebreaker over the Giants. I already knew that, and so. It was a game you want to win, but it wasn't a must win, and I already knew that. So for me, why not? You know, spread them out five wide or four wide in your tight end, and you know, shotgun to Romo, and then let him call it. Let him either scramble up the middle if they have no spy, or let him roll to his right and hit somebody. The way he was playing, I mean, that's a 4th and 11. 4th and 11, and you scored a Miles Austin, who did not have a great game. Missed some plays earlier, and yet on 4th and 11 scores. It's insane. Let me just make two other points. I don't want anybody to talk about Dez Bryant no more, and I don't want anybody to talk about Tony Romo anymore. Some point I accept that Tony is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. What you have top five here in the NFL. Games. But you know what? So did Drew Brees, and so did Matt Ryan, and you know, Peyton Manning interceptions in 8 minutes. But let's stop.
He cut out for me. I can't hear.
You're doing the same thing for me. I thought it was just me, so I didn't say anything.
What's happening?
You're cutting out. We couldn't.
Can't hear me.
It's like you're going, and we can, it's like you're cutting in and out as if you're outside, and we know you're not outside, but we don't know. I thought it was just my phone, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I think your phone was wavering when it said that, when you said that Tony Romo was off the hook for sure. What if he doesn't win this game for you guys? I mean, well, then no matter question. Oh, wait, hold on. No matter question the fact that the guy can play, because he certainly can. Well, except for Joe Theismann. But, I mean, if you know, they don't get this win in Washington against a rookie quarterback, it's actually pretty disheartening. Even Tony Romo said after the Saints game, and which, by the way, he played terrific. I watched the game later. He had said that, you know, it really just comes down to wins and losses, and that's what he's focused on. And if he plays like you expect him to play, then it certainly won't be an issue. And you're right, after this next game, the Cowboys presumably, under your word, make the playoffs, then it won't be much of an issue. We'll see. But I'm not going to sit here and say a 4-5-game stretch is also off the hook. Although Dez Bryant, by the way, won me a fantasy championship. Thank you, Dez. I appreciate it. There's not room for him, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, my point is, you know, we have to stop with, you know, with every other quarterback, we look at seasons, we look at streaks, we look at longevity, we look at, with Tony Romo, we go game to game. And when he has a bad game, all of a sudden, he's horrible, he's this, he's that. And I don't hear that. I don't hear that about any other quarterbacks that have accomplished the things that Tony Romo has accomplished. Now, let's be clear. On a team level, Romo has a long way to go. On an individual level, the guy's very consistently knocking down every franchise record that the Cowboys have with two of the better quarterbacks to ever play the game, Troy Aikman and Roger Staubach. And he's knocking out all their records. The guy can play the game. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And, you know, they still throw, they still show the interception in 07 against the Giants when it was 4th-and-11 and nobody was open. And he was trying to throw a pass to see if somebody would make a play. And it got picked off. And they're calling that a choke. I don't think that Romo gets treated fairly. You know, and every week, this is a defining moment in Tony Romo's career. They're still showing the 06 fumble with Seattle. It was a holder. Give me a break. How many starting quarterbacks are holding for their kicker right now in the NFL? Okay? And they show that, and they put under where he choked. You know, I don't think Romo gets a fair shake for the amount of talent and the amount of plays that he makes. And for every game that he plays,
he has a chance to. We'll see. It's not, I don't think it's a defining moment.
Let me finish what I was saying.
Sure.
For every game that he has where he has three picks or whatever, and people can say that his play cost him the game, there are three other games that had he not played at a high level, they wouldn't have won. And those games get overlooked, and everyone wants to focus in on the games that he had. This year, there were two. Last year, there were two. But all the other games where he plays well, you want to gloss over that, and you want to focus in on the two games that he played poorly. And I'm tired of it. You don't do that. We don't do that with any other quarterback in the NFL. But we do it with Romo, and it's not fair. Let's give the guy his due. The guy is a good, solid quarterback, above average. Elite, I don't know because, you know, is Drew Brees still elite? Is he at 7-8? Is he elite? I don't know. I think he is, but then you look and say, well, they're 7-8, so he's not elite. You know, is Eli Manning elite with two Super Bowls? Is Ben Roethlisberger elite at 7-8? You know, so I don't know. It's like the rules change here, and I get tired of it. And I just feel like let's judge the guy on his career and what he's done. And what he has not done, I will be the first one to say, absolutely. He needs to win some big games. Absolutely. And I expect that to start now. Okay? He needs to win some playoff games. And absolutely. That is missing. And I think that's reasonable. But when you start talking about him being a choke artist and he can't play, you know, he doesn't perform in the clutch and all of that, I mean – he performs in a clutch over and over and over again. So let's just be fair. That's all I'm saying.
I'll say this. This actually used to be Peyton Manning's plague in Indianapolis for a while before he actually won a playoff game, in which Romo has, by the way. But people would, for a while, discount what he did in the regular season to propel them to the playoffs because of his shortcomings in the playoffs and in big games. I think this is quite the big game for Romo. I don't think this is his defining moment. But he is, I believe, 32, 33. The winning needs to start. Like, it can't. I mean, the winning definitely needs to start. I think that the thing with Romo is he's a very good passer. I don't think anyone can question that. But a great quarterback, he needs to win some of these football games, some of these big moments, and he has the opportunity this Sunday to get his team to the playoffs and push forward. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and quarterbacks play, players play, and teams win, and teams lose. You know, and let's be fair, when teams lose, when we look at why they lost, you know, we lost to the Saints. Was it Romo's fault? If anyone thinks it is, they didn't watch the game.
No.
You know, but yet, you know, that was a big game. You know, it's a game you're trying to keep pace with the Redskins, keep the Giants under your thumb. It's a big game. You know, now statistically it turned out to be a game that you didn't have to win, but it was still a big game. And, you know, but it wasn't Romo's fault. You know, and there have been a lot of games that way. You know, Sunday could be the same situation where Romo could go in and play out of his mind and the Cowboys could still lose because the defense doesn't stop anybody. So they go in and they lose 41-35 in overtime or something. It could happen. It's happened before and it could happen again. So, you know, I don't think that's going to be the case, but I just want people to judge him fairly. That's all I'm asking. All right. Train, you still with us?
Yep, most of you, man.
All right.
Well,
what?
I was going to say that let it be known that at the end of the day, quarterbacks are often judged by their wins and losses. He needs to produce these big games and these moments, man.
Yeah, I find it interesting, you know, with what you've experienced this week with your quarterback, this year with your quarterback, I would expect you to be on my side. I would expect you to be
I'm being harsh on Baker. I've seen him pull off these games too often, and for him to not play well, like he only had 8 interceptions on the season. Well, the thing is, a lot of those big interceptions, big moments, and the quote-unquote 2 games he cost us still cost us. So, again, this is a big moment for Tony Romo. It's not his defining moment because he's still 32. I mean, he looks like he's quite a few good years of football left in him. He's certainly playing at a high level. But at the end of the day, quarterbacks are ultimately judged by their wins and losses. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, and I will submit to you.
You don't agree with it, but it's just
no.
I
will say to you that Romo gets judged unfairly because of who he plays for, and I see it.
And that's probably true. That's probably true.
And I just want people to judge him fairly. You know, when he plays poorly, he plays poorly. When he plays well, he plays well. You know, and that's it. All right, let's let's just jump and talk about the Bears for a minute, because the Bears need some help. Bears, your Bears need a win and a Minnesota loss. Is that correct?
That is correct, man.
The Bears control their own destiny. So if Minnesota wins, they're in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they lose and the Bears win, then the Bears are in. Now, Minnesota plays Green Bay. I think Green Bay, if I'm correct,
they're playing for the number 2 seed.
They're playing for the number 2 seed because if San Francisco wins and Green Bay loses, then San Francisco gets the 2 seed. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so San Francisco has Arizona at home. You know, they did nothing against Seattle. I mean, it was embarrassment. If I'm a San Francisco fan, it was just embarrassment. And I mean, I think I really didn't leave any time to talk too much about last week's games. But let's just give Seattle its due, and let's all of us come around and say that I think we were all in agreement several weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks into the season that, you know, and I think K-Star's words were the Russell Wilson experiment needs to end. And I think we all agreed. I know I agree. And I think, Train, you agreed with him, too. And I think we were wrong.
Weren't we?
Yeah. Seattle, that game right there. I mean, I said Denver was a scary team to play. Well, if Denver's scary, then Seattle's the second scariest of all these teams. Because their defense is insane. Their offense can score. I mean, wow. What they did to San Francisco was just embarrassing if you're a 49ers fan. I mean, great because Frank Gore was kept
relatively useless, and the guy I was playing in fantasy football needed Gore to have a good night to beat me, and Gore did nothing. And so I will be playing in the NBX championship Sunday, and my second year in a row playing in the championship. Last year I lost. This year I plan to win. But that's another conversation.
You can be like me, by the way, if you win another one this season, because I accomplished that for you last week.
Yeah,
famous plug over. Go ahead.
Well, my goal is to win every year, one of the two leagues I'm in. So last year I won our league. This year I'm looking to win this league. I've never won this league. I was in the championship game last year. I really wanted to pull off the double. I couldn't do it, but I got to get it this year. I feel good about it, too. But anyway, Seattle is looking good. They destroyed San Francisco. San Francisco should beat Arizona, but we'll see. So with that said, Green Bay has something to play for. Because they both play at 4 o'clock, so it's not even like they get to see what the other one's doing. So I go to Train to say, what are your thoughts on can Minnesota at home take out Green Bay? And you guys are playing Detroit, who would love that you guys have lost. Talk to me about the whole scenario and what you think.
Well, let's first start with Chicago-Detroit, man. And be honest and say this is the worst team to play to get a must win against. Simply because this is probably our second toughest division rival. And their particular D-line truly goes for Jay Cutler's throat with Dominique Sue and McFarland. They really do go after Cutler, like hard as they can. Harder than they do any other quarterback in the league, they go after Jay Cutler. I mean, and considering that it's a division game, and they know what a win for them could do to Chicago, I mean, it's the toughest game to have to get a must win at the end of the season playing a team that has nothing to lose and pretty much will be playing to give Calvin Johnson the record. So maybe we can count on some mistakes definitely made by Stafford because he's made a bunch of them this season. But even saying all that, Chicago is still the better team, and they have to play like it. I mean, they have to – I mean, if they didn't have to win the game, they didn't have to get it done. There are no excuses. No excuses for the defense, no excuses for the offense. You just have to win the game. Chicago can win the game because they definitely are the better team. Healthier than Detroit right now, everything. The only thing is that we are playing it in Detroit, and Detroit is definitely a tough place to win. They have one of the loudest home crowds. Still, Chicago has to win. Now, on the other side, even if we win, that game is at 1 o'clock Eastern, so we fast forward, and it's 4:25. Now we've got Green Bay and Minnesota. Now, Chicago played Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, well, 3 weeks ago, we lost to Minnesota. Clearly a game Chicago could have won. Our offense did nothing that game. Thankfully, for Chicago, Green Bay's offense is 10 times more potent than Chicago's offense. And Minnesota is a one-man show, and that one-man show is Adrian Peterson. And they need a ton of help from the defense just so they can get the offense back on the field. And the offense has to stay on the field to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Even if it's in Minnesota, I don't see that happening. Green Bay has a lot of weapons. Their players are way more entrenched in their offense than Chicago is in theirs. I mean, their offense is just a lot more potent. So I think just with Green Bay's offense alone, it's going to be tough for Minnesota to pull out this win. And the crazy thing about it is, you know, Green Bay is playing to get the number 2 seed. And then they actually have a choice that if they know the result at 1 o'clock, they have a choice whether to put Chicago in the playoffs or Minnesota in the playoffs. I just think that's a funny way of looking at it. But they do have that choice. Not to say they're a tank of games, but I'm just saying, just looking at it, they have that choice. They can lose the game, probably take third seed, and end up playing Minnesota first round of the playoffs. If they wanted to,
say that again now.
If they lose that game, and
you're talking about Green Bay,
Green Bay. They lose that game, Senators will win. They'll drop the third seed. Minnesota wins. Minnesota gets 6th seed. They play each other first round of the playoff.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. If Green Bay wins, they get first round bye.
Yeah, if they win. I said if
right.
they lose.
But they're playing at 4 o'clock.
Right.
You're playing at 1 o'clock.
Right.
So
they know, okay, so Chicago wins, and they know that if they win this game. I mean, to me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They won a first round bye. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, again, to me, it's play for the bye, but it's kind of funny how basically if they were to sort of choose to, they really just want to catch Chicago out. I mean, they'd sit them, but that doesn't make any sense because then they would have to play the same team that they're playing against this week.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't want to play a division rival 3 times in one season.
Well, but they don't. But they don't. They won't know. They're going to get a first. They want the first round bye. They want to host. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they want a first round bye and then host that divisional round game. So to me, that's more important than whoever you're going to. That team is going to play a game
and then
have to come to Green Bay.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. I mean, that's definitely what they'll do. They're gonna play for the first round bye. I just brought it up as a funny viewpoint of how much power Green Bay has in this one game.
They have, but I don't think it's relevant only because they're not gonna exercise it. They want the first round bye. That's more important than who you're gonna play. You know, first round bye, week of rest, and then host. I mean, they're not. I don't think if I'm Green Bay. Do you care if it's Minnesota or Chicago? If you're Green Bay?
No, you don't. Because you can clearly beat both teams.
Right.
You,
that's what I'm saying.
You beat both
teams. This isn't San Francisco and the Rams. You know?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I think you're going to slip in. You know, we're going to make our picks shortly, but I think Green Bay is going to play to win, and I think they're going to beat Minnesota. I think Minnesota's too obsessed with Adrian Peterson trying to get that record, and I honestly think that they're going to lose to Green Bay. Green Bay is just playing better football all the way around, and even though it's in Minnesota, I think Green Bay is going to win this game. And I think your team I just think you're better than Detroit. You know, I just don't, you know, I just, I think if this script plays out the way I think it's going to play out, you know, I see the Bears getting in, slipping in with a win, Minnesota losing, and, you know, that's how I see it, you know. And I see the Cowboys winning, and I see Seattle having to come to Dallas for a revenge game. Because we got something for them, but anyway, we gotta beat RG3 first. That note, what's that?
No, I was gonna say, you guys know I'm getting ready to relocate to California, right? So
yep.
Let's check this out. If everything works in Chicago ends up in the playoffs, we play San Francisco in San Francisco first round. Clearly, it's a playoff game. I can get a chance to go to. That's all I thought of in that.
If that happens, clearly, if you don't go, you're a terrible fan.
And you get to play your boys' team, which is always nice, you know?
Yeah.
One of my best friends is a Redskins fan, so we're going to get together Sunday night, and I'll watch the game together, and it's gonna be on fire. All right. Some of these topics I came up with, I don't even like anymore. So let's, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I sometimes get tired of talking about football. I just want to go watch the games. And I feel like, you know, okay, I'm done. Good night, everybody. Let's just go get ready for Sunday. But let's finish out the show because I'm getting excited. I want to see these games, you know.
It is Thursday, too. Where it is later in the week, man. We usually do this on Tuesday. Now it's right there. We're waiting to see it.
Killing me. All right. Train first. Biggest surprise of the NFC.
Ooh. Biggest surprise of the NFC. Damn, that's a toss between the play of Minnesota and the play of Washington. I'm going to have to say the play of Minnesota. Simply because at one point, They had Percy Harvin, and you saw him, you know, you saw what their offense was like with both Percy Harvin and Adrian Peterson, and Percy Harvin goes down. I mean, almost around midseason and doesn't come back yet. Minnesota is still able to string together some wins to actually put some kind of background or something. They actually string together some wins and actually put themselves in position where they control their own destiny. They only need to win. They don't need any help but help from themselves. And that's a surprise to me because I didn't expect them to be nowhere near a playoff team coming out of our division at all. All I saw was Green Bay and Chicago and maybe Detroit. But, nah, Minnesota was nowhere on my radar. I mean, the Redskins are surprised, but, you know, the NFC East is always a battle, but they're two very close. But I had to side Minnesota.
Yeah, but let me tell you, it hasn't been a battle won by Washington in quite some time. So to me, that's the biggest surprise, considering they're playing for the division title at home, basically essentially a home playoff game this Sunday, with a rookie quarterback and rookie running back, and a team that was once left for dead. Admittedly by their own coach at 3-6, and here they are to win 6 straight, possibly 7, make the playoffs. Again, this is a team that, if we remember from last year, we had 4 wins at this point last season. I believe we were a 4-12 football team with no quarterback, no direction, no future. And now they have RG3, and here they are, basically again hosting the NFC East Championship. And I didn't see that coming. I don't think anyone else did. So for me, it's Washington. And this is going to be a team that's going to be very good for a long time. So, I mean, especially with, you talk about the NFC North, but in the NFC East, you got to remember the defending Super Bowl champions are there. So, you didn't really think of Washington to truly be in the mix, especially with the quote-unquote dream team in Philly. No one thought Washington. So, for me, it's the Washington Redskins, much like the Indianapolis Colts, the two rookies.
Yeah, for me, I got to go with Seattle. The fact that they are so good, another rookie quarterback, but this one unheralded. This isn't an RG3 or Alex Smith or a third round pick after they went and got Matt Flynn, a free agency, gave him $10 million, whatever they gave him, and then the guy hasn't started one game. So, I mean, you know, to see Seattle play, I mean, there were times this year when the 49ers were considered the best team in football, and to see what Seattle has done to them, and to be playing on that level, I was a non-believer. I thought this was just a team that, they have an impeccable record at home, and they're 3-5 on the road, so let's see what they can do on the road, but they're a scary team. They are a scary team. And next to Denver, you know, I'd say they're a team you kind of don't want to play. Now, I say that by saying if they come to Dallas, we got something for them, because don't like how they beat up on us that first game. But that said, Seattle would be my surprise. Biggest disappointment of the NFC, and I'm going to start this one, and this one is easy. This should be unanimous. But this is the Philadelphia Eagles. This team, you know, it wasn't injuries. It was, you know, it. I mean, yeah, Vic got hurt and all that, but no, this team.
That's all over already.
This team just stunk. There were teams that, you know, I never believed in Detroit, so Detroit didn't surprise me. And I predicted that. The Giants had good games, but I said, this is what they do. You know, after 07, they didn't make the playoffs 3 years in a row, and they won last year Super Bowl, and they're not. It's unlikely. They have a slim chance to make the playoffs, but it's unlikely that they're going to get into the playoffs. They're not mathematically eliminated, but they need some help. So I'm not totally. But the Eagles to be 4-11 and maybe end up 4-12 with all the talent that they had and the dream team and all that, you know, and the dynasty and all that, and they're terrible. They're horrible. They're rotten. And they're my biggest disappointment. K-Star.
My biggest disappointment, although I really wasn't too surprised by it, because to me, the suspension of Sean Payton tenet spelled therein was the New Orleans Saints. Again, although Sean Payton was clearly missed, this is a team that still has what we perceive to be an elite quarterback, and to me still is, with Drew Brees, a team with weapons all around him. And honestly, a defense with Steve Spagnuolo that we thought would be quite a bit better rather than last in the NFL. So for them to be 7-8 at this point, it's disappointing. I wouldn't say surprising, clearly disappointing. You know, we could go with the Giants here, but, I mean, hey, T, you said it before, you really wouldn't be surprised and definitely not disappointed to see the Giants falter and fall on their face like they had before after winning Super Bowls for a couple of years in a row. But for Drew Brees, for the Saints, for that level of organization, to not even have in Week 17 the chance to fight for a playoff spot after being 12-4 last year is to me the biggest disappointment.
Mm. Train.
Man, I don't disagree with either of you guys. Both of those are pretty good. I didn't even have Eagles just slipped my mind, especially considering I picked them at the beginning of the season to win the division. But once again, my disappointment is, you know, based on just being a football fan and some things you kind of get excited about seeing or hoping to see at the beginning when the season starts. And it would have to be the play of second-year quarterback Cam Newton, man.
I was sad.
Yeah, man, he hit that. I mean, really, his comparison is Andy Dalton, man. You look at what Andy Dalton did in his second year and look at where the Bengals were sitting. And you look at Carolina, and they're not sitting even nowhere close. They wasn't even in the hunt, man. Halfway, not even 75% of the way through the season, they're not even nowhere near the hunt. I expected them to be somewhere close to the hunt because I think Cam Newton took that next step, and he didn't take that next step this season, man. So as a football fan, you know, wanting to sit down and see Carolina because they got Cam Newton, he just, you know, didn't take the
yeah, and let me just say, I mean, I don't think it's fair to call the Saints a disappointment. When you lose your head coach like that and you know, the stuff that they went through with Bounty Gate and all of that, I mean, for them to have a chance to be 8-8 with everything that they went through this year, you know, I don't, what they went through is unprecedented. You don't have that type of scandals and that type of stuff normally. This isn't a steroid abuse or something like that, you know. And, you know, clearly Sean Payton went to New Orleans and turned that franchise around as a head coach. And, you know.
With the help of Brees.
Huh?
With the help of Drew Brees.
Oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it's you know, clearly – you know, he's the offensive coordinator, you know. I mean, Drew Brees is an excellent, you know, elite quarterback still, but he's a head coach and offensive coordinator. And so when you lose that, along with all of the stuff that circled that franchise, and the fact that they have a chance to finish 8-8, I give him credit. I give him credit. And Brees, even with everything that went on, he's still, you know, 95 quarterback rating and will probably pass for over 5,000 yards, you know. You know, so I just got to say I don't agree. There's a reason for that. Over in Philly, there's no reason for that. They just stunk it up. You know, they just stunk it up. You can't point to that team and say, oh, well, this is what happened and this is why. No,
It was also for 2 years in a row, though. I mean, not quite to the severe level last year, but again, it's just a team that was, I believe, 8-8 last season. So, you know, you expected them to be better, but this wasn't a team like the Saints, in my opinion, who came out 12-4. Again, different circumstances, but, you know, fair. The Eagles were clearly disappointed. And to Train, real quick, come on, man, we can't do it alone, dude. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm disappointed, but like, you referenced Andy Dalton. Well, to you, I'd say this. Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco have been compared their whole careers. And Flacco has the playoff wins. But let me tell you who the better player is, and I think will be going for the rest of the career. That, to me, is Matt Ryan. I think Cam Newton will take off. And Cam Newton has still played pretty good personal individual football this season with, you know, 27 total touchdowns or 4,000 total yards, 1 week to go. 6-9, not very impressive at all, but just play off Cam, man. He'll be fine. I'm disappointed too, but again, biggest disappointment.
I told you my perspective. I took the same perspective when I called biggest disappointment in the AFC. I wanted to see certain players take that next step. So from that point of view, I didn't see him take that next step. And stats don't show everything for what Carolina was experiencing this season. You know, we had several weeks where we talked about Cam Newton and his attitude and his lack of leadership and things of that nature. And so, you know, as a
we all kind of talked though these past few weeks about Cam Newton and his play, because he's played significantly better since then. Right. It doesn't really matter. It's kind of vain, but he does not acknowledge that either. Let's be fair.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine, but as overall season disappointment. I wanted to see that guy go for it, man. Especially after somebody pumped him up and pushed him in the Hall of Fame.
It's got a long career ahead of him. And hey, by the way, you know what? You know what's awesome?
Fault. It's like Stephen A.
Oh, it's my fault. You know what? Tebow.
This is your fault.
And that's fine. That's fine. Wait, let me tell you something. If you want to tune into some sad, depressing football, you have the Carolina Panthers, your depressing team, and my disappointing team, New Orleans Saints, playing this Sunday in the battle of disappointment in the NFC. There it is, TNV zone.
I'm going to leave that one alone because we already know. I mean, we already know. I mean, let's just hope, you know, this is K-Star's second season. Let's just hope by the third season some reality comes into some of his analytical skills. He's getting there, but he's still got a long way to go. He has a long way to go. Yeah, he does. All right. Let's make some picks. I picked we already picked one of the games, Cowboys at the Redskins. You guys picked the Redskins. I picked the Cowboys, of course. We have four of the games that I felt all had playoff relevance. And so first one is, of course, the Bears at the Lions. We already know who Dr. Train is going to pick. So why don't you tell us why the Bears are going to roll in and win this game?
Simply put, man, we're the better team. You're the better team. You're in a must-win situation. You bring your A game. Your playoff started weeks ago. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Bears are 4 weeks into the playoff season. It's only to get this win. You're the better team, and it's time to show it. Detroit has done nothing all season long. Nothing to smile about except for Calvin Johnson breaking a record. Clearly. Let's just leave them with that, Calvin Johnson breaking the record, and put ourselves in position to be in the playoffs. At least possibly do something.
Okay. K-Star.
Going to be a tough game because the Lions are, you know, the little brother of NFC North. They're haters. They have attitude. They're punks. Everyone knows that. Chicago Bears will win this game, though, but it's going to be a dogfight. And Calvin Johnson has the NFL receiving record at this point, so he's already eclipsed Jerry Rice. At this point, they're just going to try to keep the Lions or the Bears from making the playoffs. Then we'll go to the Bears post football.
You guys know from last year when the Lions came and started 5-0, I said, I don't buy it, I don't believe it, and I've held tight to that. And I think the Bears are the better team, and I think the Bears are going to win. I don't think, I don't like their coach, and I think if they go and get a real coach, my jury's still out on Stafford, but I don't like their coach at all. Under the right coach, maybe Stafford can be elite. And again, that's a word that's used a lot, but I don't think this is. I think the Bears. I think Lovey. And these guys are going to go in there knowing that we need a win. We're going to need help, but let's control what we can control. And I can hear it now. Let's control what we can control, and let's go, and let's beat these guys. And thank you, Charles Tillman, because you helped me win my game last week. I had 138 fantasy points, and the guy I played had 131. It was an incredible
game, and I needed every single point. I had Tillman, I had Janoris Jenkins, I had Dez. I mean, I needed every single point.
Dez was so clutch.
Oh man, I had Drew Brees. I needed everything. So thank you, Charles Tillman, because you certainly helped me get into the championship game. But the Bears are a better team. Eagles at the Giants. I hear Michael Vick is supposed to start. Which makes it a very intriguing game to me because Vic could be auditioning for
contract game right there.
Yeah, absolutely. The Giants, you know, they have something to play for because with some help they can get in. I, you know, this is a tough one because neither team's playing well right now. I know both teams very well. Vic playing to me and the Giants. After getting shellacked by Atlanta, I said they were done, and they haven't shown up. And I think Vic's going to be motivated to show he can still play. So I'm going to go with the Eagles in the upset.
Mm.
And let me just say this: if for some reason Vic is not the starter, then I go with the Giants. So I'm going to be on the record to say, if for some reason, I know the other guy broke his hand, and I don't know who else they got back there, but if for some reason,
for the season, so it's definitely going to be Vic.
Okay, then I'm going with the Eagles. Train?
Oh, wow. Man, I mean, now that you gave that whole little speech about Vic, it does make this game more difficult just to pick a winner. And, yeah, the Giants definitely need a win and a lot of help. I mean, they need a lot of teams to lose. They need quite a few teams to lose. Wow. Giants at home. I'm going to put one last ditch into the Giants just to get a win. I don't think it'll do anything for them because I know Chicago's going to get the job done and Green Bay's going to get the job done. But I will give one last ditch hope that, you know, one last ditch pick and that the Giants will come away with a win.
Okay. For me, it's easy. I'm going with the Giants. It's a lame duck quarterback and a lame duck coach. Let's go next.
Okay. Texans at the Colts. Texans trying to play for a number one seed. And the Colts, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't think they can.
They don't get anything from this.
Right. But I think there's a lot of pride in knowing that, you know, you're playing arguably one of the better teams in AFC. So they're going to come to play. I'm going to go with the Colts. I just something tells me Colts are going to win this game. K-Star.
I am too. I'm going to go with the Colts. To me, you know, Houston's a very good team, but to me, there's just something like just not quite there to make them like a championship, a former type team, and championship game teams won these type of games because they need that number one seed to really have a legitimate shot to win the AFC. I see the Colts winning. This is Chuck Pagano's first game back, which is their incentive, obviously, clearly. And so I think they play inspired football, and it's at home to close out their home season. Yeah, I'm going to Indianapolis.
Barring that the Colts don't change anything and play their team as they've been playing all season long without resting anybody, I like the Colts to win this game. I think they definitely are good enough to split one with Houston. And I gave Houston the first one, but definitely I like the Colts in this game.
Okay. Last game, big game. Talked about it a little bit. Packers hosting the Vikings. I've already said it, but I'll say it again. Packers are going to win. Better team. You know, better team.
Clearly, all my chips are in this bucket. This would be the one day out of all season that I bleed green gold for 3 hours. Just for 3 hours. After that, yeah, I'm going to hate them like I've always hated them. But definitely, Packers.
I'm going Minnesota at home. This has been a team that's been hated on all year, not giving them proper due credit. They play good defense. For majority of the season, this is at home. The rushing record is attainable for Adrian Peterson. There's something about this guy where it's just watching greatness. And to me, you can't stop that from happening. I'm going to go with Adrian Peterson, the Vikings, officially ending, by the way, sorry, Train, the Bears season and make it playoffs. And you'll be just like me.
Wow.
Like,
see, this dude,
you
realize
all these, all yeah, both of you will be here with me watching the playoff games of other teams.
He is picked so that all of us sit at home.
we all go down. This is Titanic, goddammit.
Yeah, that would really suck if all of us were sitting home. We got nothing to talk about, man.
The depressing show next week.
Yeah, man, that would really suck, man. I didn't even consider that, but that's the real possibility.
We should all be sitting at home.
Yeah,
TMZ fans, if that happens, TMZ fans, just know you're gonna have three pissed off hosts. We gonna hate on everybody, no matter who they are.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm hating on you, Vikings.
Wow.
All right. All right. Well, I guess that's it, guys. Any final thoughts?
No, just again, want to point out Adrian Peterson fighting for the rushing title this Sunday. I'm going to be rooting for him. I know Train will not be because it conflicts the interest of his team, but I think it's special to see him gain that, especially after his injury.
Let me just say this. He can have that rushing title as long as they lose that game. Okay? Period. But look, my last word is that, dude, this has been a great season for TMZ, and this is a great season of football. This has been a really fun season, just all together, just to be a fan of the sport. So I've enjoyed it. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right. Go Cowboys. That's all I got. And we will be back next week again. New Year's Day is on Tuesday, so we will not do a show New Year's Day. Look for us either next Wednesday or Thursday. Stay tuned. Somewhere in, you know, on the internet somewhere, you'll find out and check us out. Enjoy the games. Some good games on Sunday. Enjoy. Happy New Year, everybody. Enjoy your family and friends, and enjoy your time off if you got time off. Enjoy the games, and check us out next week. And remember, the Madden Voice are where all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.